What are we doing?
I'm drinking.
Advisable.
Should we just drink, or should we also record it?
I suppose.
All right. I think we'll do the second option then. I should, in that case, say greetings, Apropossi, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Yeah.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
And tonight's going to be the drinking show.
Yay! Welcome to March.
Every night's the drinking show, but tonight's also the drinking show.
Well, but like March is the drinking month, right?
Is it?
A lot of people like to funnel it into one weekend.
St. Patrick's Day weekend, blah, 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 blah.
I celebrate St. Patrick's year, so.
How many celebrations have you done so far, Salsa?
So far this year? What month is it? Let me see.
Well, you said you celebrate St. Patrick's year, so.
62 days so far this year.
Okay, you're good.
How many years have I celebrated St. Patrick's year?
Yes.
Let me see.
All of them.
Legally.
22. That's a careful answer. All right.
That is a careful answer. Well done.
My lawyer has advised me to say 22.
To be fair, you were out of the country, and I'm sure that the drinking age was different there. So,
So 23 legally. For that 1 year, for that only 1 year.
Yes.
I never drank before then, and then I drank that year, and then I never touched it again until I turned 21.
Correct. Yep. Makes sense.
Except sacramental wine. That's the only alcohol.
Oh, yeah, but how much? Bless me, Father. I have a lot of sins. I'm going to need a lot of blood. Ooh, like a blood transfusion.
Yeah. Most people went in there to say their sins. The priest and I just went in there and you know, drank and talked about girls. Or I don't know. That joke got away from me really quick.
Yeah. Big girls.
Yeah.
Speaking of drinking, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Cutwater because... If you've got it, why wouldn't
you? Cutwater.
And I've got it. I am drinking a Cutwater. Well, I was skipping ahead to the second word. Cutwater mango margarita.
Ooh. Oh, how is that?
It's mangoed.
Mangoed? Okay. I'm drinking the alcohol of the liberals, Twisted Tea.
Hell yeah.
Another good canned cocktail.
Right? Well, is it a cocktail? I never think of it as a cocktail.
I mean, lemonade and whiskey or vodka. Is it whiskey or vodka?
It's whiskey and tea. It's not lemonade.
Whiskey and tea. It is a drink. Or it is a spirit with a mixer, and that is,
I guess,
a cocktail.
Like, I don't know if it's whiskey per se. I would think it'd be whiskey, but I don't know. It's a hard tea, is what it says.
So only we were connected to a series of tubes.
Beverage with tea and natural flavors.
Malt beverage.
Yeah. Gross. Yeah, it doesn't say specifically a spirit, just that it's a hard T.
Yeah.
It's like a capital T.
T.
Anyway.
Pretty funny.
So yeah, it's a hard T. I would classify it more like a cider, because it's only 5%. It's not...
Sure, but I mean, it's not about the... alcohol content. It's about the fact that it is made with a spirit and a mixer.
Well, that's what I'm really saying, though. I don't know what the spirit is. It's just a hard tea.
Oh, and you, that is
Right? Yeah. Now you see the problem.
Now like, I see. Now I understand what you're saying now.
Yeah.
Well, in the same way that, like, I mean, I guess. Huh.
Like a seltzer isn't a cocktail.
That's true.
It's a fucking seltzer.
Yeah, that's right. That hard cider and.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
A Mike's Hard Lemonade. A Mike's Hard Lemonade is not a cocktail.
No.
It's just a hard lemonade. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh. So, but like a shandy. A shandy.
But
is.
A shandy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
In God, for that.
So.
Oh, now I want a shandy.
Shandies are good.
Fuck.
It's one of the, like, the few Leinenkugels that I really liked was their shandy.
Eh.
I really miss their sunset wheat.
Hmm.
It was very partial.
Mm.
James, you had the you had my side by side shandies at Febtober. Okay, yeah,
I did. I enjoyed it. You you make a good shandy.
Yeah, they were really good. I enjoyed that. Mm. Anyway, what are we talking about? What are you? Drinking?
I'm drinking a Tattersall Old Fashioned.
Oh.
The Dabbler Depot has a single barrel Old Fashioned. Distilled by Tattersall, and I've put it in a shot glass that was given to me by a very cool person.
Aww.
Yeah.
You sure
that says Reach for the Stars. Right? Oh. And then it's a T-Rex with a meteor.
Down
in the... that getting mixed signals from that.
Same. Yeah.
Fuck, that's good.
Well, all right. So, James, what have you been up to? Let's start with you this time.
I was sick for 2.5 weeks. I'm finally starting to
be less sick. Dig my way out.
Yeah.
So, 14 days of no health makes 2 weeks. Nah.
I'm lost. Huh? Okay.
Oh, the joke is 7 days with no meat makes 1 week.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
So I was trying to
It makes
on
one
that.
2 week.
Yes. It makes makes James 2 week.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure, we'll go with it.
Got it. It. Good enough.
All right.
Print it, put it on a t-shirt.
Ship it.
Yep. So there was that, but I've been getting a lot of writing done, but It's kind of a crapshoot. I can't seem to write the thing that I want to write.
Oh,
I can only write other things.
Mm.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Is it
such a frustrating feeling?
Are you starting to write the thing and then it just goes in a different direction than you wanted it to, or are you just not, or is just something completely different?
I will sit and I will stare at the screen as long as I have the document pulled up that is for that, the story that I want to write or the play that I'm trying to write.
Mm-hmm.
Either one doesn't matter. But I've been writing an absolute shit ton of everything else.
Mm, okay.
So all I have to do is sit and look at those documents and I will be inspired to write and finish other things.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Which that sounds like the most ADD thing ever.
Sounds like it.
Truly.
Because I've had the other one where... I sit down to write a thing and then I start writing and it just does something different and doesn't do what I want it to do. It's not the story I want to write. It's just it.
But the affliction that I often have is that if I don't write it in a single sitting, which is why most of my work is short stories.
Yeah.
Not even that. I will start writing it. And then, when I come back to it, I will go to just, you know, quickly scan through it to, catch back up to where I've left off. And then
you have no idea where you were going.
Start making changes.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And I will get mired down in like writing and rewriting the
first. I still consider that a momentum thing. Cause your forward momentum has halted and now you are regurgitating where you're at as opposed to
functionally
putting things in the forward direction.
The vast majority of my writing I like to do in one sitting, or I end up losing my flow.
Mm.
Sure.
Like, and there are larger things that I've done where I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, where the fuck was I with this flow? And then, like, it takes me forever to figure out, oh, okay, okay, mm-hmm. okay, it's right here. But, like, I don't know. I have to do a dance and sacrifice a goat every time I come back to it to remember what I was doing. So I'm like, can we just do this in one shot?
Mm-hmm. It requires that particular space and time.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So. For me, like, I don't know how you two feel about this, but for me, writing is like a 2:30 to 4:30 a.m. thing. I need to be a little wired on caffeine. I need to be a little bit drunk. And then I'll just, it isn't great, but it's good enough and I can come back to it and like edit it just later.
Really anytime after the sun goes down when a lot of distractions are no longer distracting and the world can kind of just exist without needing my attention. Not necessarily 3 a.m., but anytime after like 9 p.m.
No, I love, like, for me, it's less of a time thing and much more of a, do I have a thing to say?
Mm.
And it doesn't matter what time it is. If I have a thing to say, that is the time that I am writing the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, sometimes even if it's like an early morning, oh shit, I need to write this thing. If I haven't had my coffee, it's going to be garbage, but it has to be written in that moment. God damn it.
Yeah.
The time is now. I have the thing to say. Otherwise I don't. And like I appreciate the peace of the late night, early morning writing, but it's not necessary for me. It's not. I can write whenever.
I'm not a person who believes that drinking improves my ability in functionally fucking anything.
Right.
I don't think that I put on a better show. I think that I get competitive and shitty if I've been drinking. I don't think that I am a better dancer. I'm going to be a terrible dancer, and it's only going to get worse if I'm if I've been drinking.
Okay.
I'm uncoordinated sober.
Right.
Yeah. But there is, for me, when I'm doing very particular non-violent competitive sports like darts and pool, there is a sweet spot for me where
I really hope you're not in competitive sports having just a drink.
No, not at all. Just on principle, I would never do it. But I don't do that when I'm fencing either. But there is a moment where I am allowed to forget about my body and just be in an intention. And as long as I am at that level, I become really good at pool and darts. And it is not because it is making me better. It is because it is making me worse in a very particular way.
So, it's probably similar to the drunken master of Kung Fu,
maybe so,
where a little bit of alcohol makes you more supple and pliable, and you're not fighting your own anxiety. And you can just,
I'm not thinking about my feet. I'm just placing my feet. I'm not thinking about my hand.
Flow state.
About
And your muscles are a little more relaxed. And so you're not, you know, fighting that, you know, your own body.
And I think that sort of shutting off a lot of that external feedback helps me to get writing done. It does not help the writing to be good.
Sure.
Yeah. But I also don't like being drunk. I enjoy.
I don't understand.
I enjoy the socialization of drinking. I enjoy the flavors and experiences of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I like a good beer. I like a good wine. But I don't like feeling out of control. So yeah. But I've gotten a lot of writing done, but it's not what I want to be writing. So yeah. The rest of the time I've been relaxing and playing a very particular video game.
Oh, so, which one?
It's called Chance of Sinar, which is a game about language almost entirely.
It's on my wish list.
Yeah. There are little bits of like timing and platforming subtly, puzzle things, but they are tiny. There's like inconsequential, and you'll get as many tries as you need.
Don't want it.
But it's primarily like everybody speaks a different language at the beginning, and as you go through and communicate with them, you kind of learn, oh, this word means this, and so you can start to,
because you'll see it in context. In a painting, or someone will repeat something in front of you, and then they'll go and do something, and you equate their phrase with their action, and then compare it to someone else saying a thing and doing a thing, and you compare the differences, and the difference tells you which thing means what in many cases. But
I want this for actual language. Like, can I get this in French?
I mean,
you moved to France. Yeah.
That's how immersion works.
Yeah.
Right. But I want it in a game like this sounds like a good action learning.
There are a couple of games like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are Japanese learning games that teach you kanji as a survival mechanism. That kind of thing.
But, is it Babel has some like word games stuffed in there too?
Yeah.
I think so. A bunch of them have.
Yeah.
Duo, Babel, and Rosetta. All have different little mini games.
Different game, but this sounds more fascinating than the little games that they have.
It is.
Do you know what I mean?
It is a fully fleshed game as opposed to a learning tool. But yeah,
I thought that I had kind of the nature of it down, and then without getting too deeply in and spoiling things, you need to know more than one language. You need to learn more than one language, and the languages, even if they have words that overlap, the usage of those words will be different, or the syntax, like the structure of the language, the grammar will be different.
Sure.
And it's so fucking wild. I think maybe most of the way through it, and I still know about half of the stuff. It's crazy. It's awesome. It is at times frustrating, but it's really good. And Jenna, you'll appreciate this. A lot of the words that I just recently picked up in it, I got from watching a play.
Aww.
I got it from watching you.
That's delightful.
Yeah, they have like a little cultural presentation, and it tells you the things that you need to know.
Aww.
It's very good. Yeah.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very cool.
I wish listed it a while back. Yeah. I'm intrigued to hands on it at some point.
I know what Salsa's favorite part of it is going to be. It's not multiplayer.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, Salsa, what have you been up to?
Oh, so many things.
Oh, good.
I had a quite busy weekend, actually. Where to begin? So Saturday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I should say, was my daughter's school musical. So we went and saw that on Thursday. It was lovely.
Nice.
Had a good time.
What show was it?
Shrek Jr.
Oh.
So then, but that was, so we went and saw it on Thursday. On Friday, she had the show again, but also her hockey team was having their like end of year spaghetti dinner at somebody's house.
Oh my God.
So cast call was at 5. The spaghetti dinner was started at 6 and the play started at 7.
Oh my God.
And I was like, fuck, because she's going to feel really bad if she misses that. So I emailed the, you know, guy in charge of everything, the program at the school. And I was like, look, my daughter is crew. She's backstage. She doesn't have to get makeup or costume or anything like that on. Can we have special dispensation for her to come late? At like 6:45. so then she can go to spaghetti from 6 to 6:30. Can get her there, and then she'll be there 15 minutes before the show starts. Can everybody else make sure that things are ready to go? And then she will be there for the show. But again, no makeup, no costume, nothing like that. She just needs to get there and do the thing. And he's like, yes, that makes perfect sense. We're completely okay with that. Yes, she should go have dinner with her, you know, team. So
yeah,
cool, not a problem, fine. So I'm like, okay, I need to do this. I need to, work is going to get done. I need to make dinner for my family.
Right.
Then when my wife gets home, she'll take over dinner while I take her to her team's spaghetti dinner, and be there for half an hour, and then take her over to the play, and then get home just in time to pick up my son so he and I can get to Kung Fu class.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. This is the plan. It's going to be a bit of work, but yeah. This is the plan. It's fine. We can make this work. Not a problem.
Mm.
Except at around 5:30, I get a text from my wife saying, hey, I'm at my sister's house. Their cat died this morning. So I'm with them. And I'm like, cool. I was kind of banking on you finishing dinner for my son here. So, you know, and she was like, well, should I come home? And it's like, by the time you get home, it's already going to be too late, because right. I'm already going to have to be out the door and either leave dinner going and it's going to burn, or stop it and it won't be done. So right. It's already kind of too late at this point. So what I had to do is stop cooking dinner halfway through it cooking, take my daughter to her thing, drop her off, go home, finish cooking dinner.
Jesus Christ.
Just in a, like, as soon as it was done cooking, I was like, it's done. It's on a plate. Asher, eat this. And then I left to go pick up my daughter. Like the turnaround here is ridiculous.
Oh my God.
And so I picked her up, drove her to the school, got home, picked up my son, got him to Kung Fu, but it was God, I was so,
that is insane.
It was such a mess. But at some point
he stops shuffling them around and has to check and see which one the walnut is under.
Yeah, it was crazy. And my wife felt really bad, and it was like, your sister needed you. Like, this
yes.
was
yes, yeah.
You know,
a tragedy happened.
We can't plan for, you know, the death of a family member like that. You can't,
right.
You know, so it was just like, this is, so Friday was crazy, but Saturday, Lilibeth had, two shows, the matinee show and, an evening show, but that was the final day. And then immediately after, they had their cast party, which included having the school pool open.
Ooh.
Whoa.
So we dropped her off at 1 PM.
Mm-hmm.
For the first play, and then they had Devani's Pizza, and then they had the second show, and then they had their cast party afterwards. And so we dropped her off at 1 and picked her up at 11 p.m. and nice. Didn't see her all day.
Man, and she had shows to go like that.
I never get to have a pool party theater show.
I know, right?
God damn it.
A little envious.
But that also meant she missed her first game of the playoffs. Which they tied. It ended in a tie. It's pool play, by the way, in case somebody's going tie in the playoffs. It's pool play right now. So first game was a tie.
But pool party, pool play.
It all ties together. Delightful. But one of the things I got started on Saturday was dinner for Sunday. And that was people who have been listening to this for a while have heard me talk about the rum pot that I started a while back. Quick refresher for those of you who have forgotten. Rum pot is it's a German thing where you take a ceramic pot and you layer in fruit as they come into season.
Oh, yeah.
So you start with spring fruits, then you put in some summer fruits, then fall fruits, you know, and as you layer them in, you layer them in with rum and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time Christmas rolls around, you've had this fruit sitting in sugar and rum for 9 months. And it is all just fruit juice and sugar.
Then you have a fruit rum baby.
Oh, yeah. And it's so you've got the cherries and the strawberries and the raspberries and the, you know, in the beginning of the year. And then you've got plums and pears and peaches. And then you in the fall, you put in the pineapple and stuff like that. And you've got all these different fruit flavors all layered throughout there with this rum, and it's sugary, so it's sweet. And I took the fruit, the actual physical fruit, and turned that into a compote. And I took the rum and the fruit juice and the sugar, and I marinated a pork loin in it overnight. And that's what we had for dinner. Was we had this,
that sounds exquisite,
fruit juice and rum marinated pork loin for dinner, and then for dessert we had angel food cake with this boozy fruit compote on it. Holy shit! Holy shit! Holy fucking shit!
Listeners, Salsa actually leaned into the camera to say, holy shit. Holy I need you shit. All to know this. That is the most I've ever seen Salsa work for this podcast.
it was, and I could, I.
That's the farthest I've seen him sit up for any job.
And this is traditionally a Christmas thing. We were a couple months late on it, obviously. But traditionally, this is eaten around Christmas time, and it makes sense. It makes sense because the pork loin did have a very fruity flavor to it. It had a fruit juice sweetness to it. It was very moist, super moist meat, and it had that fruitiness to it with, you know, a little bit of that like pineapple acidity with like the berry flavor throughout. And I think it was super, super good, but I think it would be really, really good around Christmas time when you're having a big meal and you've got the sweets and you've got all that other stuff going
that
on.
That does sound fucking incredible.
And you've like got a whole bunch. Yeah, we just had the pork loin with mashed potatoes, and for my wife, it was too much. It was a little too sweet and too fruity for her. But I think if you had it as a single dish with a big full, you know, spread.
Asparagus, green beans,
you got that hit of sweetness, but you can mix it in with the other savories and
for sure.
But it was really fucking good, super good, and the compote on the angel food cake. Oh my god, fucking just absolutely divine, so goddamn good. So yeah, 9 months in the making, that finally paid off in a big way. Definitely going to do this next year, and
hell yeah,
Christmas time, invite people over and have a big Christmas dinner with it.
Hi, people. Although I'm probably going to be allergic to something you put.
I was about to say it's got like pineapple in it.
The pineapple. When you said pineapple, I was like, ah, oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, there's also like, but I mean, the thing I also don't like, for me, it's got like raspberries in it, which I can't eat normally, but because it's been soaking in rum for 9 months, it's fine. I can do that.
Oh.
But,
yeah, I was curious because, I didn't know about the raspberries thing. I knew about like apples, and I was wondering because, memory serves, you can eat apples and bananas if they're cooked. But
I can eat bananas anytime.
I'm allergic to bananas.
Yeah, I can eat bananas.
You're mixing up the fruit allergies. Salsa and I have like opposing fruit allergies.
Yeah. That's right.
We cannot go to a place with a fruit salad. It's
I can eat tropical fruits. I can eat citrus. I can eat bananas and all stuff like that. It's anything that's been cooked or processed in any way, shape, or form, I can eat. No
problem. Gotcha.
Because it's not the fruit, it's the tree that I have the allergy to.
Right.
So
that's I suppose maybe if you cooked melon, I might be able to have it because it's the ragweed allergy. Mm. Not really a melon allergy, but like who the fuck is cooking melon? You could grill it, maybe.
Oh.
You might be able to
grill it. That is a good question.
All
melon? Is it watermelon?
All melon.
Wow. Grilled watermelon sounds fucking awesome.
I've never really cared about watermelon. It just...
Yeah.
Watermelon is one of those things when I could eat it more. It always tasted like it was missing flavor. Like it was watered down. Like a watered melon.
God.
Right?
I made the cantaloupe pie, and that was a cooked melon.
But
it was more of a custard than roasting.
Well, and that's the thing. I didn't eat it for other reasons.
I think you couldn't eat it anyway. But
right.
But yeah, the cantaloupe pie, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Pi Day's coming up.
I know. I'm so excited.
But anyway, did that. Otherwise, I took my family and my son and daughter skiing this weekend.
Hey.
Cross country or downhill?
Downhill.
I was about to say, the lovely weather we've been having.
To bring people up to speed who haven't heard this, when I was 17, 18 years old, I was an exchange student and I lived in Switzerland and I learned to snowboard
I've heard.
Well, but you're not the one I'm talking to. I'm talking to people who may not know this information.
Yeah. Take that.
Yeah.
So while living in the Alps, that's where I learned to snowboard. So my daughter learned to ski on like school trips. And she was really excited to go. I haven't done it in 25 years or so. And my son really wanted to learn. So we were like, oh, let's do this thing. And then like something was happening at our house where we were like, we need to get out of the house. And nothing bad. just people were visiting that we didn't want the kids to be interfering with. So we were just like, we'll take the kids and go skiing with him.
Okay.
It was just elderly grandparents and friends and stuff like that, and they just wanted to catch up and didn't want grandkids running around, so I was just like, let's get them out of the house. So we're like, let's take them sledding and snowboarding. So it's like, cool. And I'm gonna be honest with you, every time It's come up a couple times in the past, you know, that, hey, we should go snowboarding. And it's like, on the one hand, I haven't gone in 25 years. So I was just like really excited about the idea of going snowboarding again. But also, I haven't gone in 25 years. And so I also had this like trepidation and anxiety about it because I'm, you know, 90 pounds heavier.
Elderly.
And my knees don't do things that they used to do.
Right.
And they do things that they didn't used to do.
Exactly. And part of me wondered if I was going to have fun or if I was going to really kind of ruin it for myself. Not even go to the hospital, but just ruin the experience.
Yeah.
And just all the good associations that I had with it, if I was going to turn those into negative associations, and not even consciously, but subconsciously, I had kind of been looking for excuses to not do this. But I didn't have an excuse yesterday. And so I took the kids. And so, like I said, my son had never been before. So he and I went to the bunny slopes and I showed him how to snowboard. My daughter immediately fucked off to like the
fucking death defying.
Yeah, exactly. She was off to the races and having a good time. And there was a whole lot of tears from that child. I knew there was going to be because it's frustrating. And it's difficult, and there's a learning curve, and and it, your first time will never meet the expectation in your head. And I tried to tell him that before we got there, that this is not going to be as fun as you think it's going to be until you figure it out. Once you figure it out, it's immensely fun. But until you get to that point, it's nothing but frustration. Because with even with skiing, your feet still have some independence. But with snowboarding, once your feet are locked in, they're locked in and you can't move except for hopping. And when you try to hop and every time you hop, you slip backwards and you make no progress, it's frustrating. And you're just like, I just want to move two feet forward. And that takes way more work than you expect it to. It can be very frustrating very quickly, especially when you're 9. And I was like, this is going to be rough for both of us. I'm telling you right now, because you're going to get angry and upset and you're going to cry. And that's going to get me frustrated because I'm going to be like, no, seriously, I told you this was going to happen. And none of us are going to have a good time until you figure this out. And sure enough, neither of us had a good time. And until he figured it out. Eventually, by the end of the day, he was able to go down the bunny hill a couple times, pretty well, actually. But there was a lot of tears and there was a few sitting down and having a break. But I, you know, a couple times while he was sitting down having a break and crying it out, you know, I went and found my daughter and I went down the big slopes with her on the snowboard. And
God damn.
And it, you know, the very, very first time down the hill on the bunny slope, I had that fear of, do I still know how to do this? Do I still remember how to do this? And that first time down the hill on the bunny slope, I got to the bottom and I went, oh, okay. No, I,
yes, I do.
Yeah. This is how this works.
Well, okay. Then.
And so by the end of the day, the couple times I went with my sister up the high one, I was just zipping down the mountain going, why haven't I fucking done this 25 years ago?
Right.
You know? Oh yeah, because it costs so fucking much to do. But no, it was a super good time and I'm really, really glad I did it. And now the kids both want to do it again and we'll definitely go again. But I had to get over that hurdle in my own head of can I still do this? Or has it been so long that I need to?
Yeah.
Should I not? so had a great time. Then I get home. I was totally going to cook dinner. And I was going to make this pork loin and I was going to make the angel food cake. And I'm on the slopes and my wife calls me and is like, so were you going to do it? I was like, oh, could you do it? Put the food in there. And so again, this was kind of a last minute thing to send me out snowboarding and skiing with the kids. So it was completely unplanned. So I was like, and my wife was like, yes, I will absolutely do this. Stay out there and have fun. Do that. And so she cooked the pork loin and she cooked the angel food cake, which I felt bad about, but, and then we had that. And then after dinner, I had some like raspberry seeds stuck in my teeth in the back. And I was just like, okay, I got a toothpick and I was digging at that and poking at that. And I couldn't get this fucking raspberry seed out of my mouth. And then, and then half my tooth fell out.
Fuck.
I hate it when that happens.
Like suddenly it dislodged and a whole lot of tooth came with that seed. So I was,
it was an attack seed.
understandably freaked the fuck out, because it was the size of the chunk of tooth was about the size. If you think of a pencil eraser, like just the part sticking up above the metal part, like it was a chunk of tooth about that big. Like it was not a small chunk of tooth.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. It was actually an old filling. It wasn't actually tooth. It was an old ceramic filling.
Doesn't that suck?
It still sucked. Don't get me wrong, but it was, wasn't my actual, it wasn't my biological tooth.
It wasn't a tooth. Yeah.
It was a ceramic filling. It was a ceramic filling that I had forgotten about because it was, you know, it was, but it just had become unstuck and it had popped out of the socket that it was in. But it looked enough like a real tooth that I was freaked out. But yeah, it was, it didn't hurt. Unless I like took a drink of water and then the cold like hit it and went, whoa, straight into my brain, which was really exciting. But yeah, I got called the dentist and got an emergency appointment and, got in there today. And on just on a whim, I brought the chunk of tooth, because I was like, I'm going to show this to him, be like, this is how much of my tooth came out, to show them that this is what we're dealing with here. And it's a damn good thing I did, because the dentist was able to look at it and go, oh, this is a ceramic filling, I wonder if it still fits. And it did, and so he was able to just re-cement it back in, as opposed to having to make a new ceramic filling.
Fucking saved yourself like $1,000.
So much time and money and effort, because I had the thing that I brought and was like, here's the thing.
Mostly the effort that Salsa's relieved about.
Well, it was mostly time, because making a ceramic filling takes, a couple hours, where you're sitting.
And they got to match it to your tooth.
Exactly. And then they shape it and put it in and shape. You know, they're just like, no, this still fits the socket.
I've been getting all epoxy ones.
It's just the cement.
I love those.
You know, wore out over time and popped loose. Yeah. So we'll clean it up and re-cement it in place. And
the doctor says, have you been eating anything weird?
That was the joke that my coworkers made today. So I was out of there by, 2 hours later, I was out of there with, done. So, yeah, but it really fucking freaked me out, because I suddenly was holding this giant chunk of tooth in my hand with a gaping hole in my jaw.
The picture that you sent.
I'm
startling.
I am so used to sending Jenna disturbing pictures of my hobbies.
That one didn't disturb me. This is the problem. I have lost so many teeth and so many fillings. I am missing probably about 5 teeth right now, or chunks of teeth right now, and 2 specific fillings that I'm aware of. I was unable to go to the dentist for a very long time for specific reasons that I will not get into, but they are completely valid and I would make the same decision again.
For sure.
But yeah, now I need like probably about $30,000 worth of work done on my teeth and I can't afford it. I've lost so many different teeth, chunks of teeth. I've had cracked teeth. I've had whatever. So Salsa sent that picture, I'm sure intending to disturb me. And I was like, oh, is that all?
I was not intending to disturb you. That one was more showing James what happened.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I saw it and I was like, I'm not going to react to this, because I'm not going to give a sympathetic reaction. I'm just kind of like, let's see. Yes. Like, I feel sympathy, but I'm not going to freak out the way anybody else would. So it's like,
Very eventful weekend. A lot of stuff happened. So Jenna,
I went to the Bryant Lake Bowl.
Exciting.
I've heard of that
lot.
Place. Hey,
last Tuesday I went to the Bryant Lake Bowl for a show.
Mm-hmm. A haunted show.
Yeah, surprise. A haunted basement is starting to do monthly movie viewings. So they'll do like a trivia night and a movie at the Brentlake Bowl. And they're doing it as a way to like
trivia raise and money. Movie?
Yep.
So
six to seven is trivia.
Okay.
And then 7 o'clock is the movie.
Do they do trivia on the movie or is it
like... on the movie, on the genre? The movie they were showing was Night of the Living Dead.
Okay.
Oh my God, because I love it's public the movie. Domain.
Yeah.
Right? Easy way to show it. And so the trivia beforehand, they had three separate rounds. One of them was like zombies in general. One of them was the movie specific. One of them was, I don't know, another zombie related kind of area. Ooh,
that sounds fantastic. Cause you get all the little Easter eggs and stuff that then you watch the movie and look for later. I love that. That's a great idea.
So yeah, that was, and it was a fun time. I'm not the biggest movie person, but I'm always down to like support my theater people. Yeah. And like I said, they are raising money. They are trying to reopen Haunted Basement this year. They're trying to do a haunt again. So that's a part of the thing is they're going to do this for a few months, or for a while anyway, and try to.
So do you also feel a kind of kinship with them?
Yeah. Well, you know, I walked into the theater and two people from Haunted Basement that didn't know me were like, oh, hey, nice hat. And I'm like, oh, I'm wearing my Twin Cities Horror Festival hat.
Yeah.
And then like.
Usually it's the president of the Twin Cities Horror Festival hat.
Yes. I was incognito that day. No, I walked in and they're like, hey, nice hat. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. And then the third person was like, oh, it's you. I'm like, hi, Brian Watson Jones. he's like, you think you can out haunt us? And I was like, nope, I sure don't. And he was like, are you here to feud with us in the ways of horror? And I'm like, nah.
I'd You'd actually... like that, wouldn't you, Brian?
Yes. But no, it was a delightful time. The one thing about walking over to the Brentlake Bowl, doing trivia, seeing the movie. The movie itself got out at like 9:30, 10 o'clock, something like that. And that's fine. Like, it's a school night, but meh, whatever. It's not the biggest deal.
Yeah.
Watching a horror movie.
Ah,
and then walking
yes.
home in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Everything's fine. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't have any qualms about watching The Shining at 2 in the fucking morning at the Columbia Heights Theater until I had to walk outside to use a porta potty in a hedge maze of outdoor toilets.
Right.
In the middle of December. Yeah, it was.
Similar thing.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
So anyway, that was my Tuesday. I went to the Brentlake Bowl and I saw horror. Wednesday, I went to the Brentlake Bowl for happy hour tacos. So Brentlake Bowl from like, I can't remember if it's 3 to 6 or 4 to 6. But they have their happy hour and they have a lot of pretty good things on their happy hour. But the thing that I am addicted to is their happy hour tacos.
Mm.
You can get them. You can get the crunchy, just most American looking fucking just the ground beef, the lettuce, the tomato,
the black
onion.
Olives.
No black olives.
Huh.
Yeah,
my childhood.
I mean, I've also enjoyed black olives on a taco. They just don't exist on this one.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so you can get those or you can get some soft shell carnitas tacos.
Oh.
That are more true Mexican style.
Mm-hmm.
And each taco is $2.50.
Hell yes.
Whether it's the crunchy or the soft.
Nice.
Fucking
so
awesome.
You can get a variety of tacos.
Mm-hmm.
You could get, I tend to go for the crunchy because it's like a comfort food filling my soul type thing, right?
Yeah.
And so I'll get
tacos
like
comfort food.
I'll get three or four tacos, usually only three, but some days it's extra taco day. And I'll get three tacos and a ginger beer. And they have free refills on their ginger beer. I can get it. I know, and it's good, too.
Buck.
Say again, how much was the ginger beer?
So the tacos are $2.50.
Yeah, and the ginger beer
is... The ginger beer is, I think it's $3.
Okay.
Yeah.
So $3 for unlimited drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And $5 for a pair of tacos.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Right. I go to the Bryant like
why am I
happy hour tacos like 2 to 3 times a week.
Why are you just now telling us about this, Jenna? That is quite frankly abuse that you have not told us this earlier.
You know,
that
if
is,
you hung out in Discord, you would cool, know about Jenna. It already.
I do talk about it in a bunch of social areas, Salsa. Maybe if you were more engaged in social media. You would have.
You'd rather not have tacos than.
I guess I'll just have to make my own tacos.
Yeah.
Well. But yeah, like I go to the Brent Lake Bowl for a happy hour. I get three tacos and unlimited ginger beer. If I'm feeling fancy, I'll start with a whiskey ginger tall. With their rail whiskey, because happy hour. Made with the ginger beer. So I can get a whiskey ginger with ginger beer, tall, and then switch back over to ginger beer. It's still like $15 total for me to be there. But well, before tip, but yeah.
I mean.
I was just like, what the fuck?
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's so good. So that's what I did Wednesday.
Wednesday?
And I should say Tuesday, I also went over at 5 o'clock to partake in the happy hour tacos.
The happy hour tacos, the shells for those, the soft ones are probably flour.
Yep.
Are the crunchy ones corn?
They are. I mean, there's still probably gluten in it, but my gluten sensitivity is like
low,
not a big deal. Yeah. So, if you're thinking for spouse, there's probably gluten in it. Sorry.
Alas.
Yeah. Although Brent Lake Bowl has a lot of good dietary food items in general.
That's very true.
Wouldn't be able to partake in the happy hour stuff, but like their Bip Bam Bop Bowl, their Bippity Boppity Boo Bowl.
I think
it's really good.
We had some really good gluten-free menu options when we saw Reverend Matt. You were there. Yeah.
So, and then Thursday, I went to the Bryant Lake Bowl.
Oh.
For some happy hour tacos.
Just to change things up. Okay.
To mix it up a bit. I saw a show.
Oh.
A show?
The hell you say?
Show. I saw it's called Movie Fight Club. It's produced by Josh Carson. And it's running quarterly-ish.
I feel like I've heard of this.
Well, I went to the last one, too. I accidentally was at the Bryant Lake Bowl about 3 months ago. And Josh was like, hey, are you going to come to my show? And I'm like, you're doing a show. And he's like, fuck you. And I was like, no, I really didn't know you're doing a show. But Movie Fight Club, Josh is the host. And he has a lovely assistant that makes all of the tech go. And puts together a bunch of questions and slides and things like that. And then there are three participants. And those three people, they'll be given a prompt like, what is the best holiday movie that's not a holiday movie or something like that, right? And then each of them has a different answer. And they have to present the argument for why their movie is the one that the audience should vote for. And they can debate with each other and everything like that. And then the audience votes on their phones which person in that round won it. So,
so cool.
Is this a planned and written argument, or is this improvised argument?
Mostly. They definitely get the questions ahead of time. They can plan out their arguments. They can do slideshows. They can do the rest of it.
Okay.
Sometimes it happens where one of the contestants is just like, I don't know, man, this is the answer. This because I said so, and they can improvise around it a bit. Sure. A lot more of the improv comes in the discussion and debate portion afterwards.
Certainly, but the question itself is
know it ahead of time.
Okay.
Yep. They know it ahead of time. They can prepare.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean they always do, but they can. So they get to the end of that, and then there's basically the assistant puts up a QR code that the audience can scan and then link to a form to vote for who their favorite one was for that round. Mm-hmm. And I want to say it was definitely 9 rounds. Because this particular show ended in a 3-way tie. The one beforehand didn't. Like, the audience is like, nope, this one is our favorite. But I will say, this particular time around, like, everybody was good.
Mm-hmm.
The contestants were Maggie Ferris, who is a local stand-up comedian, who's very good. Shannon Custer.
Oh, amazing.
Who is... Mm-hmm. an incredible performer, and Mike Fotis, who is just improv god.
Yeah, so solid top to bottom.
So yeah, the entire group was phenomenal, and they were all phenomenal. At one point, Maggie Ferris went into this lesbian fuck the patriarchy rant, and Shannon Custer just stands up behind her and just starts doing like a background music, like a not the national anthem, but like something more patriotic kind of thing.
Yeah, like glory, glory, hallelujah. Like my eyes have seen the
God. I mean, that wasn't it, but it, that kind of a
thing. But like a what's his name documentary?
Like you couldn't see the flag waving. Like a
Ken Burns documentary. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. You couldn't see the flag waving behind Maggie Ferris, but you could if you squinted just right. Like, it was so beautiful. It was so lovely. And like I said, they do it about quarterly. So if you...
Nice.
A couple of months, check that out. It is a very good time, and I will probably be back for that one again.
Cool.
It's just fun. Yeah. And then Friday, I went to the Bryant Lake Bowl.
Oh,
I had some happy hour tacos.
Really
getting weird with it.
Sorry, wait.
And
sorry.
I did see a show.
A show. Damn it.
I have to look up the name of this one again, but it was a show done by Spiral Theater.
Okay.
And they're doing this show was also kind of part fundraiser, part script review for them as well. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Road to Nowhere. So it's kind of I know Spiral Theater through the Twin Cities Horror Festival.
Right.
Last year they did a phenomenal fantasy baseball horror. That was just incredible. But 2 years ago, they were the ones that did the play about the dogs jumping off the bridge. Why can't I ever remember the name of that fucking bridge?
Yeah, I've.
But you know what I'm talking.
Remember you talking about this? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like an actual location where dogs just jump off the bridge for no good reason. Nobody knows why. Like it's an actual thing. But so they made up a horror story around it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. So this particular show is a Western. So not a horror show this time around.
Okay.
And the big thing about Spiral Theater is I would describe them as kind of a more Americanized British comedy. Their pacing is always a little bit more wonky. Kind of hat tip to Monty Python. Especially the dialogue is very important. They do a lot of wordplay. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of puns.
Oh.
Yeah. So you get kind of this mix of like a British comedy and a Who's on First vibe.
Okay.
As they're going through everything. It's got kind of that pacing and that patter. But it's a bunch of young kids. Like, they're all Jess's age doing this. And I'm like, I am so jealous that you kids are doing such an amazing job right now. And okay, I'm also so angry about adults. The puns. And yeah, so this one was, it was more of a script review. It was a staged reading. They had a bunch of stands for their scripts and everything. But they also had a live Foley artist. And they did have coconut shells for the horse and all of that stuff going. Like, it was pretty fun. It was pretty fantastic. It was definitely more of a radio show kind of vibe, the way they were doing it this time around.
Okay.
And yeah, so they were basically testing out the script to see where the laugh lines were and things like that. And also a partial, you know, fundraiser to raise money to be able to put this up somewhere at some point. So, so that was fun. And I saw that with Megan Slauson.
Cool.
She joined me for happy hour tacos.
There are worse people to have tacos with.
Right. No, it was great.
Yeah.
Hung out, chit chatted. And yeah, saw a show. There was one line specifically. Nope, I'm gonna fuck it up. Never mind. Anyway, okay. It was a great show. I was very entertained by it. Despite the massive amount of puns involved. So that was, I went to the Bryant Lake Bowl on Friday, and then Saturday, I did not go to the Bryant Lake Bowl.
Show?
Yeah, no.
God damn it.
Saturday, I was pretty wiped. My body, I've been trying to make myself go out more and to do things more, and my body has just been tired with the hormone therapy and everything going on with trying to become an old lady. So I'm having the worst time of it. And so, yeah, Saturday I was just like, nope. Like, I had debated going on Saturday, like going to the Bryant Lake Bowl for brunch, just so I could be like, yeah, I went to the Bryant Lake Bowl like 5 times this week. What? Feel like that was enough, though.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday I had a bunch of people over and we worked on fencing booth jackets. So that was lovely. It was a very good time. We finished nothing because surgers are bitches. But we did get a lot done. And yeah, the problem is that with this pattern, with all of the different layers, you're basically making 5 jackets each jacket.
Yeah.
You have to cut out 5 jackets. You have to serge 3 jackets together. You have to sew 2 jackets together. And then you have to bind the entire thing. Like, it is a process. So, but we'll be doing it again. So,
yeah.
We will get some jackets out. God damn it. One of them is so close. So very close. But at a certain point, the sewing gods just decided we were done. We broke probably about 7 different needles on Sunday. It's a lot.
Fuck.
There's a lot of fabric to go through. And, like, my machines can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got heavy-duty machines for a reason, but the needles. The needles can only handle so much,
you got to work for it.
Yeah. So.
Jeez.
So that's what I did.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice.
Tell and me then you
today I almost went to the Bryant Lake Bowl for happy hour tacos, but I got tired. God
damn it.
But I will be going tomorrow, so, you know, just fantastic. To keep up appearances.
What time does that...
Happy hour tacos?
Yeah.
Happy hour tacos, I think it either starts at 3 or 4, I'm not sure, and goes to 6.
Okay.
Okay.
Tomorrow I'm going for happy hour tacos, and then I'm going to see a show.
Mm-hmm. I'm just doing the mental math, but I don't think I can get there after work.
You probably can't enough. Get there fast enough.
No.
I think your wife was able to visit with me once during a happy hour taco session, sure. but she actually goes right by me to get home.
Yeah. Exactly.
Where she
yeah.
works. So mm-hmm. I'm on her way.
Yep.
I'm not on your way at all. So
nope.
Unless right. you went downtown.
Downtown.
In which case, you should really go do happy hour at the Normandy where Joe's at.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that's a thing. But yeah, right. no, if I'm downtown, then I'm having to take the train and everything like that and getting
gross.
By that point, trying to get to the Bryant Lake Bowl from work via public transport would take me even longer. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unless I mean I haven't checked the schedule. It's possible that I can, you know, nail things, but the amount of
yeah,
time.
Yeah, not if you're taking the train. Like yeah. you could take a bus downtown.
I'd have to figure easily. Out a bus route that got me to the correct place. But yeah, I don't know the bus schedule well enough.
I kind of do because I have bused in the uptown area, and there's quite a yep. few buses that go back and forth between a couple of different routes, a couple of different whatevers. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think if I took the time to figure it out, I might be able to. But at that
right.
point,
but
at that point, I can just make tacos at home.
Right, like there is that. It is for me. It's about getting out of the house.
Yeah, it's also the social aspect, definitely.
Because I work from home.
Yeah,
and there have been entire weeks that I have not left. I at one point did not leave my house in a fortnight, and I was like, maybe I should find things to just. Go out and do. And happy hour tacos? Fuck yes.
It's a great thing to do.
I mean, that is... I've left the house for worse.
Right.
True.
All right. Oh, should we take a break?
Yeah, I could use a refill.
Probably.
All right, let's do it. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with you know what.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at aonpodcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
No, you're not.
We're not recording?
No, you're not. Join, Val, join.
I think you'll find that we are recording, though.
Are we recording?
Yes, but I'm not join, Val, join.
Am I going to find it, or are you just going to tell me?
We're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Did you find it?
No.
Okay. But it is time for a Fest 5.
Fest 5.
Today's Fest 5 comes to us from...
Now you need a pro.
The mind of James.
Oh God. Oh no. What have we done? What have you wrought, listeners?
What we have done is not get enough Fast Fives from our listeners. That's what we've done.
J'accuse.
Jack Hughes.
Mm-hmm. Jack Hughes? Is that like Join Van Join?
No, there is actually, like, there's, I think there's like a hockey player named Jack Hughes.
There was also a Honeytown character named Jack Hughes, who was a lawyer.
Yeah, he played for the Devils. Jack Hughes.
Yeah.
It always
That's
cracked
really
me up.
Good. We,
because every time we played against the Devils, I would be like, Jack Hughes! And it was great.
In high school, we had a football player, or not high school, middle school, we had a football player, Michael Hunt.
Oh, God.
Yes.
And he did go by Mike. And he was very good at what he did. So we got to hear about Mike Hunt over the PA system frequently.
Really held on to that ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm cousins with some Hunts. To the best of my knowledge, none of them have been named Michael because we're smarter than that.
It's not about being smart.
I think he went by Mike on purpose. Like, if you had been named Michael Hunt, you would be like, no, no, you call me Michael, or even go by a middle name. He was like, call me Mike.
Or you can go by Mick, and then it sounds like you're Irish.
Oh no, Mick Hunt.
Oh no, here comes Mick Hunt.
Coming down the 40-yard line.
That's right. Every football player is on top of.
Oh, that's a bad tackle. They really wiped out my cunt there.
There may be an injury. It appears that my cunt may have torn something.
Yep.
Okay.
He also played basketball, and dribbling down the sidelines is my cunt.
Oh my God.
Wow. James, for fuck's sake, tell us.
Oh God, please.
Start the foul. Fast five, please.
Get to the fast five.
All right. Fast five. Question number one. Atmosphere or fixture?
Ooh.
I love a good atmosphere. But I like being a fixture at the BLB for happy hour tacos. Fuck.
I've heard that about you.
Yeah. You know where I'm going tomorrow?
The moon.
Oh, that'd be so cool. No, I'm going to the Bryant Lake Bowl for happy hour tacos.
Yeah, I've heard they have happy hour tacos.
You can go straight to hell is what you can do.
Bisexually to hell.
Advisable.
You can swerve to hell.
I actually really like that. I'm stealing that one. Thank you.
This sounds to me like a video game thing. Like an atmospheric thing.
Sure.
Or like a fixture of genre or something like that. I'm gonna go atmosphere.
Okay.
I think as much as I'm a fixture at the Bryant Lake Bowl, I
hear they have happy hour tacos.
They do. They're only $2.50 each.
You know, they used to just call it a bar fly.
Right.
That's the thing,
I'm also there with the other regulars too.
Oh god damn.
So like I know like four or five people there that are like, hey, back for happy hour tacos? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I am. All the servers know exactly what my order is. Yeah.
Yep.
Where
everybody knows your tacos.
She definitely had a date like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, everybody
knows her tacos.
No, I think in general, I'm a big atmosphere person. I'm going to go atmosphere.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go fixture.
Okay.
Fast five. Question number two. Relevance or elevation?
Elevation.
I want context. I want the relevance. I don't need the tall tale most of the time. Like, there are, you know, around a campfire or whatever, but like, usually if somebody's telling me a story, if it gets too tall, if it's too elevated, I lose something. I need the relevance. I need the facts and the contents.
You need it some buttresses to hold it up.
That.
Yep. Hold.
Buttress. Some flying buttresses.
I love that TV show. The Flying Buttress.
You know what? Say what you will about Gothic, you know, architecture, but a flying buttress is such a beautiful thing.
Truly.
It's true. It is.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
What about you, James? You're just going to go?
Elevation.
Rude. All right.
Fast five. Question number 3. T or V?
Is that the letter T or the drink T?
The drink T.
Okay. And the V, is that the letter V or?
V-E-E.
V. T-V.
I mean, I really like tea, she says, as she takes a sip of her twisted tea.
I like tea as well. I'm trying to figure out what V would be.
I got nothing.
What would be V-E-E?
Is it V-E-E for V8? I thought it was just the letter V for V8.
V8 is just
a V. Right, okay.
Two characters.
It was the only thing I could think of that might, look at that, that might have a relevance in some way, shape, or form.
I can't think of what V would be, so I'm going to go with T.
That's fair.
I'm going to go V.
Of course you are.
Mm-hmm. Fast five, question number 4. Paper or chalk?
Paper.
Paper.
I'm not a huge fan of the texture of chalk.
Fair.
Like, I can do chalk, especially if I'm doing, like, artist pastel type chalk, where it's, you know, got more of that, it feels smooth. Finer. Yeah. I can work in chalk. I really prefer just paper and ink or paint or
origami even. I'm same with chalk. Chalk is, it's a tactile thing for me.
Yep.
Where my hands just feel dirty.
Yeah.
For me, it's a tactile thing, but it's not the feeling of the chalk on my fingers. It's the scrape of it on the surface.
It's the scrape, and it's the fact that it just gets everywhere.
There's the scrape. There's that. There's also, and if you make that noise, that fucking chalk on a chalkboard noise.
Yeah.
God. Worst.
But like, so much of what chalk and pastels is like not just the, you know, chalk itself on the medium, but also like rubbing and smearing and blending and stuff like that. And that. That part I did not like. It's
not
the rubbing and the blending and the swirling on the paper, like that part just like on my fingers, and then it just gets everywhere.
This reminds me,
and now it's
of,
on my hands, and now it's on my clothes, and now it's everywhere, and it's fucking everywhere.
No, pick me. I got a thing. I've heard of like people that work in artist pastels and chalk using the makeup face smushies to do the blending. Apparently that works really well. The kind of rubber. Honestly, half the time it looks like you're just whacking your face with like a boob insert or a dildo.
Yeah,
like those things are just flappity. Huh. But yeah, like using those to blend, I hear, is actually really, really good.
That just reminds me of how
I understand that, but. But even, but then you get to the end result, and I just don't like it as much.
Yeah, I am much more of a watercolor ink.
I like more realistic art. I don't like that kind of like more abstract.
Give me pencils, give me acrylics, give me markers. Yeah.
Give me something with a very fine detail.
It
depends on what I'm doing, but I get that.
I stopped liking crayons real early and started loving colored pencils. Pardon me.
I like using the artist oil sticks.
Oh, pastels?
Not the chalky ones though. The oily right.
The,
ones.
The grease sticks, yeah.
Yeah, the grease sticks, thank you.
I've gotten back into crayons though. I like them now.
Okay.
I really missed coloring with crayons.
Oh, I hate crayons. I despise crayons. Really? I hated crayons even as a kid. I did not like them.
Here's the problem with crayons for me. When you color on paper and you're coloring with crayons and you can't get that tiny little one white spot for the paper, and you just can't get the color on it, fucking drives me insane. I must have everything. Everything must be color. You cannot. But there was a neat thing that we did with hair dryers.
Yeah.
Where you can melt it down a bit and then it gets a nice kind of smoothness. Mm-hmm. So that's nice. But yeah, if I'm coloring with crayon, it is a fucking project because I will leave no spot uncrayoned. It will be crayoned.
The thing I don't like about crayons is there is no way to make a large area look good. It's just a bunch of lines.
Well,
that don't
blend. You already said you're more of a fine line person.
Yeah, you can do smaller areas with crayon and make it look okay, but when you've got a large area that's just one solid color, it's never a solid color. It's just a series of lines that you've gone back and forth over it and then maybe gone back and forth over it again a different direction to really fill it in, but it's still just a crosshatch of lines and
white space. Not if I'm doing it. It'll take me 17 hours, but eventually.
Right. There's no fucking way I'm going to spend 70 hours.
Yeah, I think you and I are on a similar kind of thing, although a little different vibe.
Yeah.
But it's the same concept, yeah. I think.
All right. I'm going to choose chalk.
Okay.
All right. Fast five. Question number five. Five, 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 five.
No, you don't get to do it twice. And you don't get to do it twice. You're both fired. Five. Fuck off. Hate you.
Five, 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 five.
Oh my God, what's the goddamn question?
Faithful or passionate?
Faithful.
Faithful.
I'm probably going to go faithful.
Yeah, I was about to say, if it's faithful or, nope, just faithful.
Yeah.
I really don't need the rest of it at that
simple
point.
Answer there.
All right. Context. Atmosphere or fixture. When designing a room, would you put everything in to create a particular ambiance or atmosphere? Mm-hmm. Or would you design it around furniture and lighting you already have? Fixtures.
Really depends on how much money I have. Because if money is no object, I will design a room the way I fucking want it. But if I am working on a very limited budget, I will see what I already happen to have on hand and adjust accordingly. See what kind of theme can I do off of this? What works together? Is there something I have to paint? You know, shit like that.
Yeah.
So.
Trick question. I don't.
Is that all your wife in your house? Is it your wife?
I put furniture in a room and then whatever fits in that room goes in that room.
Okay.
There's so, no planning. I would say the
fixture. Yeah.
There's no planning.
Okay.
There's just, I need to put this somewhere. There's a good spot.
Oh. Yeah. I've got somewhere you can put it.
Did you know I was halfway to an interior decorating degree before I switched over to computers?
You've mentioned
that seems before. Correct.
Yeah.
I vaguely recall this actually.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't. I get a thing and I go, where this got to go somewhere. That's why I've got boxes of stuff in my office here, because I haven't figured out where the fuck to put it yet.
I will.
I'll tell you.
I did that when I moved. The last time I moved, I had all of my furniture.
Yep.
And
I am listening, Jenna.
I did. I had graphing paper, and I cut out little furniture things.
Fuck
and I
you.
Do. Oh man, no! I go all fucking out, and I'm like, okay, so if I've got this furniture here, what else do I need to get to make my house functional in the ways that I want it? And then I'm like, okay, so if I need to get more bookshelves, what goes with everything? Like, I am so intense on this. Which, I love my house, though. My house has a very solid fucking look to it.
That's true.
I'm
Can I just interject? There was something you said there that I didn't fully understand something. That you used the word if in conjunction with needing more bookshelves. And I didn't quite understand that part.
Oh, sometimes
you,
I have
do you mean when?
Sure, and that did actually happen. But like more shelving, I guess, may have been the more important phrasing there. I just always get bookshelves for my shelving because it looks cool and eventually it will be books.
It was just like I said, that's fair. Had me thrown.
No, that is a fair thing, and I will not fight you on that one.
It took me probably 3 or 4 months of looking at different floor plans and using furniture arrangement tools in order to decide how everything was going to fit in my bedroom.
You do have a lot of things you needed to fit in your bedroom, though.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that is definitely one of those measure twice kind of situations.
And like, I've got a house that I can put this stuff in, but these were all the things that I wanted in my room.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. I wanted my bookshelf in here. I needed to have a dresser.
I'm sorry. Was that bookshelf singular?
Singular?
For this room, all of the other bookshelves are in the front room and downstairs.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah. And also, these ones are very full. And I've got the magazine boxes and other things in the closet.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So but yeah, I'm trying to decide. Oh, and then the IKEA boxes with the different like comic books and stuff under the bed. Okay. So trying to decide how everything was going to fit together. I definitely went with the more Jenna approach, but it was starting with the idea of the things that you have that I really wanted. I ended up getting a different little IKEA thing for the video games and screen and stuff.
Which does look great, by the way.
Yeah.
I think that was a good choice.
Fits weirdly perfectly on top of that dresser. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So question number two, relevance or elevation. When you are writing jokes or comedy with others, do you feel your best work would be on the same subject but different, like a different joke on the same topic, or do you think that it would be one upping the previous joke?
Depends on the situation.
Yeah, that is a really
let's say Bill 10.
Yeah, but I mean, even in Bill 10, sometimes when you're in the middle of a volley, the goal is actually to kind of keep it up. And so staying on the same topic without elevating can behoove you and behoove the moment in that thing. Whereas sometimes you've exhausted a thing and the next
good step mm-hmm. is the elevation of it and the one-upping. So that is situational to what is happening that time.
And inspiration, inspiration comes in many different vectors. It is not a like one proven formula that you can go by to write your comedy. It's really gotta kind of live in a in a thought for a little bit. So yeah, even writing with somebody else, there's not a like, I'm going to take your joke and one up it, or I'm going to take your joke and move it in a different direction. It's whatever strikes your brain and you go off on that in that direction. Yeah. And sometimes that is elevation, and sometimes that is, you know, relevance. And sometimes it is in a completely third direction that none of us have thought about because something else triggered in your mind and you've gone down a different rabbit hole. So
a very, very long time ago with Ville 10, I used to work on jokes with another person, and she kept, I would say a joke that I had worked on, and she would then do something very similar and then claim it.
Ooh.
And like, I just stopped writing with people after that for the longest time until it became more of a specific group function, because I was just like, well, there goes my material, I guess. Somebody else is just going to fucking take it, put their own twist on it. It's like cheating on homework. It was very annoying. Mm-hmm. Did not approve.
What about writing for a show?
That was writing for a show.
I mean, like, you're trying to write a script collaboratively.
Mm-hmm.
Writing a collaborative script, number one, I'm shit at that, and I don't do it.
Okay.
But number two, that is a different thing than the Ville 10 thing, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also do not write collaboratively well.
Mm-hmm.
I do my best writing by myself. I have tried to sit down with somebody and be like, okay, we're gonna have a writing session, jokes, and then we sit there and look at each other for a while, and then we go, all right, I'm gonna go over there and you're gonna go over there and we're gonna write some jokes. Yeah, let's do that. Okay, cool, good. I need to just kind of enter my own little headspace and let it flow. When somebody else is there, I get way too cerebral about it. I get way too up my own butt about it, and I can't let it flow.
Similar thing, but I just get distracted by whatever else is happening around me. If I'm doing writing, it's important for me to have my focus.
Mm-hmm.
I am not good at... I know some people that when they do writing, they do other things at the same time. Nope. That is not how my brain functions in any way, shape, or form. Sometimes I don't even have music on.
Just raw dogs it.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, a lot of my ADHD friends are like, how? And I'm like, my brain's different. I don't work well with other distractions. So,
Now,
if I do have music on, it has to be instrumental. I can't do lyrics.
I have definitely...
I've written a lot of Ville jokes to classical music.
I've definitely had concepts that I'm struggling with, where I've gone to somebody else and say, hey, I'm struggling with this idea.
Sure.
What direction should I go with it? And they'll be like, have you tried this? And I'll be like, oh, cool. But then I need to take that and then go back to my quiet little corner and then mold it into, you know, a joke. Yeah. I can't sit there with them and have that happen collaboratively. I don't do that well.
Same.
It's the same way, whether I'm writing comedy or anything else, it's the same thing. It's I need to get into that similar to a topic we were talking about, you know, earlier, is I need to be in that flow state, you know, and I need to at at 9 p.m. after everybody else has gone to bed, that mm-hmm. I can have a drink in me and go and just kind of let it flow out of me. Yep. Whereas if somebody else is there, that's what I'm doing, is being with them.
Yep. Gotcha. Speaking of which, fast five, question number 3. If bringing an old friend to your home, would you rather sit somewhere away from a screen and talk, spill tea, right? Mm. Or somewhere you can watch, play, experience something on a screen, V for video?
Mm. I'm definitely a tea person. When you say old friend, do you mean one that is like up there in age, or do you mean
like someone you haven't seen for a while?
Someone from high school. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not that it changes my answer in any way, shape, or form. I was just very curious for like my own mental construction. If I was talking to my old buddy Lance, who I haven't seen in forever and I kind of miss the guy, or if I'm talking to Hawkins, mm-hmm. those are two very different people.
Those are very different people.
But still
people,
yeah. tea. So
I would just like to say how angry I am at you right now at using VEE for video instead of just the letter V.
Just the
that
letter
really
V.
Irritates no, the fuck out of me. That having been said, I'm going to stick to T. If I'm going to hang out with an old friend, I'm going to hang out with an old friend.
Same.
Yeah.
And again, like this probably is also a part of how like the brain function thing, the ADHD. I can't. Mm-hmm. I cannot have another thing going on. I want to be able to focus on my person. And that's how my brain works.
Well, I mean, and being somebody with ADHD, I absolutely can focus on other things. But the problem is I'm going to focus on that other thing. I'm only going to focus on that other thing. Right. And my friend is just be like, hey, let's watch this movie together. We may as well be in different rooms because it's what's the point?
Yep.
So. Yeah, I want to get a beer with them and shoot the shit.
I like watching things with friends and like experiencing those things with those people or showing them something that I really like.
I get those, but for me, like there's a difference between sharing things and getting caught up. And if it's somebody that I haven't seen for a while, I want to be able to get caught up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to share this one neat thing if I'm like, oh, you have children now. Like, that's what I want to focus on, right? So.
I will absolutely sit and watch.
Social situations is for watching stuff, but not the getting caught up with an old friend.
Yeah. I will sit and watch anime with you, James, because we talk to each other every week. And we can watch anime and we don't have to talk because we don't have to talk.
The not talking is Salsa's favorite part.
I have to say, it may actually be preferable to not talk.
But the fact more not me talking is the
in all seriousness, though, you are there and we are watching it together, but you could also not be there and I would still enjoy it. It's if I'm hanging out with somebody I haven't seen in a while, I want to know what they're doing. I want to talk to them.
That's fair.
I see you every week. We can talk whenever.
Have a weird social anxiety that is eased by having a common experience happening that we can start discussing.
Pretty sure that's why people go out on movies for date nights. Like if you
or like go to a show. If you're going to the Bryant Lake Bowl. And let's say you're there for, I don't know, happy hour tacos.
Then you have
that common experience that you can.
Right. Yeah. But I think the difference is for me, the way you phrased it, an old friend.
Yeah.
Someone that I haven't seen in a while. Yeah. I already have a friendship with this person.
Mm-hmm.
I already have. Ostensibly some context that I can pull from to have a conversation with them.
Sure.
So for me, that is now, if I was going out on a date with a complete stranger, actually, I wouldn't mind going to a movie or a show after happy hour tacos, to get some kind of topic that we can converse about, but that's different to me.
Hmm. So very, very strangely for me, when I have spent enough time away from someone, I have that same almost like first date feeling.
Interesting.
It's like I said, it's kind of like a, I know that I'm super extroverted and that I like love meeting new people and talking to them and all that kind of stuff. But there's a weird anxiety about it for me. And having that, oh, let me show you this cool thing. Sure. Okay, great.
Honestly, we'll for talk me,
about that a little bit. Yeah.
There's like an anxiety in, especially if it is like getting together with somebody, having something else going on.
Sure.
As opposed to being able to have the conversations.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's this, oh God, what am I supposed to be paying attention to? This is weird. I don't know what to do kind of a thing.
I greatly dislike movies or shows as a first date. I fucking, I really think that's a terrible first date.
If all you're doing is the movie or the show, but if you're getting drinks afterwards...
But just go for the drinks. Why do the movie in the first place? The movie is nothing. You've seen a movie, but that's all you've done is seen a movie.
But then you at the very least have a point of context for conversation, yeah. Something that you can talk about. I get seeing a movie because some people are not good at being like, so what do you do for work?
No,
or any of those other general.
What I was saying is going like mini golfing or bowling. That's a thing that you can both do together and focus on
like second or third day.
You can focus on to the degree that you're both comfortable with. If you don't want to talk, you can focus on the thing you're doing. But if you do want to talk, you can talk while you're doing the thing. I would feel
the pressure to talk while I'm doing the thing regardless.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, if you're going to go on a date with somebody, that's the whole fucking point. Why would you go on a date with somebody and not want to talk?
You just said that if you don't want to talk and you want to focus on the thing,
to the degree that you don't. Like, what I'm saying is if you get there and you're both like, where this isn't going well, you can ignore each other.
In response to this, I will say
if it's going well or not if you're both staring at a screen, not engaging with each other.
There are people that I go on dates with.
Be in your living room.
I disagree. Sometimes there are people that like very particularly part of the place that they have in my heart is that we go and watch things together.
See, like, and I don't have that thing.
Okay.
Aside from watching Gremlins every year with Kesson. That's very important. But we've also seen it a million times and can talk throughout. So like it's a different situation in that. But no, I think I said this earlier, but like watching a movie to give a point of context on a first date to me is actually the only reason to do a movie on a, like, I wouldn't do a movie on a second or a third date, probably. Uh-huh. But if this is a complete stranger, it gives you something to talk about. Kind of like a pre-date, like a foreplay. Are you against foreplay, Salsa?
No,
I
absolutely prefer foreplay. My wife is the one who doesn't do foreplay. No,
everybody has their thing.
Oh, absolutely. We've got a very reversed relationship. I'm the one who wants to be like all sexy and like, you know, take my time. And she's like, can we just get this done? I've got to go to bed.
I got shit to do, man.
Exactly. Yeah.
No.
She's like, I gotta work tomorrow.
And you're only one of the things on the list.
Yeah, exactly. I've got to work tomorrow. Let's get this done.
No, but like for me, seeing a movie can be like a foreplay thing. Mm-hmm. Where you're setting the mood, you're sharing a context, you're building into a situation where you can both equally participate in conversation. It can be that. It's not my go-to. It's not a thing that I do often. But I think in the case of a stranger or somebody you don't have a lot to talk about right off the bat, I think a movie can actually be
I think
a solid thing.
That I think this actually speaks more to not so much our dating preferences, but our, well, I suppose our dating preferences in a slightly different way. But if I have reached the point of asking someone on a date, I've already done that. I'm not asking somebody on a date until I have already done that. I'm not.
I will jump the fuck off a bridge if someone's pretty. I'm fine with that.
Oh no, no. See, that is not how I connect with people. I
gotcha.
Some of my best dating experiences.
By the time we reach first date status, I already know them well enough to hang out with them.
We are going to hang out before we date. I have a preference for dating people that I have spent time with previous.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Are you pretty? Am I feeling a vibe? Do I feel safe to go out with you as a stranger? If I'm already feeling a certain sense of safety, I want to explore that regardless of how well I know the person overall.
See, that's not how I operate.
Yeah,
getting the barista's phone number thing. Don't do that.
That's assaulting somebody at their job. Don't do that.
Yeah,
that one's not okay. A person at a bar, just like
No, I'm not going to ask somebody on a date if I meet them at a bar. I'm going to hang out with them and get to know them and be friends with them, and then if things are cool, I might say let's maybe move on. But I'm going to be friends with them first.
Nah, not I. Like I said, preferred, but absolutely not necessary.
Even if I've known somebody for a very long time, I would still want, Jax and I still go to see movies.
I go to see plays and movies with my wife, but we're at a different phase in our relationship. This is not a first date. Okay. We know each other at this point.
If I start talking, we're going to be doing this for another half an hour.
Question number four.
I'm like, anyway.
Paper or chalk? If you were making a fancy shop, SHOPPE, would you want the wall close to the display counter and register to have an ornate printed menu or a chalkboard for murals and a handwritten menu?
The paper.
Okay.
Probably paper.
I fucking hate the chalkboard thing because you can never fucking read what they're writing.
To be fair, for the horror festival, we do have a chalkboard that I write everything down on. But you can read my writing because
You can read some people's writing you can read. Some people's writing you can't read.
Jackasses decide
that they're going to be artistic and make pictures on it instead of using the fucking... Tell me what... write down what am I buying? What the fuck am I buying? That's why I'm here.
Somebody got in a ranty mode.
This isn't an art gallery. This is a shop. I want to buy something. What am I buying? How much does it cost? Just tell me what it costs.
Here's the difference for me.
Yeah.
If menu items are not going to change, if prices don't change, if it is a very set and established thing, I would prefer the paper.
Okay.
If, like for the horror festival, we run out of things. If we run out of things, I cross them off the chalkboard. Because we can't sell you that anymore. So in a situation where inventory is changing consistently, chalkboard. In a situation where inventory is stationary, stationary paper. God, I hate myself.
In a situation where you are in a temporary location, you do not own the location. All you can do is what you've got for a weekend and then you're gone. Fine. But if I'm opening a shop and things are going to be changing frequently, buy a fucking monitor.
Ew. I don't like the aesthetic of that.
Have a screen that you can have things on and change them out.
depending on what it is that you're selling.
But then it is kind of a clean design. Everything's readable.
The way that you have your shop organized and what your mood is and that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, I could see that.
I think shop mood is an important factor in that, because if I'm opening a shop, it's going to have a ye olde vibe or a Victorian vibe, and I don't want to monitor that shit.
My chiropractor's office just moved locations, and one of the things that they did at the old location that they then transferred to the new location was that they bought a shitload of chalkboard paint for a giant wall behind their counter.
Fuck that.
And they made a huge mural every month.
Every month, hate that.
They've got somebody on staff who makes a beautiful mural of some kind. And it's always, for me, really nice to see a thing that someone has done. And it usually advertises some of the stuff that they've got going on in that month. But like,
this month only, back corrections.
I feel like that's more like pointed advertising as opposed to menu option, though.
I mean, kind of. You can't see it from the outside.
It's kind of like the daily special, but like for the month. And I think daily special is definitely a rotating thing. It's called a daily special for a reason. Sure. So I feel like that's more of like a pointed.
They could have a slip of paper up next to the register. Menu. But I like they do still a huge wall mural of like skeletons riding a bike, or all of the creatures from Spirited Away, or whatever it is, like depending on the month, depending on whatever theme they have.
I just think I'd call it something different. Mm-hmm. Oh, I it sounds great. I just wouldn't call it the same thing.
Huh. Okay. Jenna, do you have a particular exactness to your language that you prefer for communication?
Well, like I said, I would, if because what you described was this beautiful art mural.
Sure.
And it would highlight a specific thing. That is not a menu. That is a specific thing or a set of specific things. That is not everything that is available. So that would be a pointed marketing moment, and not quite an advertisement, maybe a highlight, a monthly special akin to the daily special thing or whatever. But if it's not everything that's available, it's not a menu.
Well, and that's why the question says a chalkboard for murals and menus.
But it was definitely the menu thing that I was hearing from that, for sure.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't mural. Those are two separate things to me.
Okay.
So yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't think to. No. Those are two separate questions to me. So I grabbed onto the menu one.
All right. Question number five: faithful or passionate? You've been asked to write and direct the script and play of a book that you like. Would you try to stick to the author's work faithfully, or would you make a show that conveys it through your voice and love of the work?
Faithful.
I don't think that's an or question to me. I think I can do both.
Mm-hmm. Also agree, but if I like it already, then I like it already.
Right.
So why would I change it?
Well, I mean, there are like five different ways that people have done the first Dune movie.
If you are going to tell a story, you're going to do it with your voice.
Or the first Dune book.
Right? Like, that's just how storytelling works. The amount to which you stay faithful to the book doesn't actually... Five different people can be just as faithful to a thing and still have different stories. So to me, the faithfulness thing isn't really, it feels like two different things. Like, I guess maybe let me ask, are you saying to be faithful to the book, you should try to do it in the author's voice as opposed to yours? Because I think you can still be
with the intention of. Yeah, I would say that, that the intention is to be. To try to bring the author's vision to the screen. Versus, and I think a good example would be The Shining, for example.
I've never read it.
Kubrick made a movie that involved some of the plot points and dialogue from the book, but that movie is almost nothing like the book. But
okay.
What he apparently brought to the screen was how he felt about the book. He made a very Kubrick movie in his own voice. It is more a Kubrick movie than it is a Stephen King book.
I think the sticking point for me is, again, verbiage. I think you can, with your own voice, be faithful or not faithful.
Yeah.
So when you're saying faithful or with your own voice, I'm like, that's not a thing. Kubrick did his own thing with The Shining. But that isn't about his voice. That is about having his own vision, which I think is a very different thing in my brain.
Okay.
So yeah. And if the question is faithful or with your own vision, it depends on what it is. you said it was a book that I like. I'm probably going to be more faithful.
I think, and just listening to what the two of you are saying, I think what I'm hearing is the difference in James' head is the salient plot points being the same as the book, or taking the vibe of the book and making your own salient plot points.
Right, which is why I think vision works for me better.
A different ending, but
I'm gonna highlight the word voice, and I'm gonna type.
Based on what I'm hearing and what I'm kind of distilling it down to for me, for my answering this question is, would I go? I don't like the ending. I'm gonna change it because it feels better to me, or I'm gonna just completely add a new character because I feel it needs it or something like that.
That happens constantly.
I know. I would not do that unless, whenever you adapt a book into a movie or something like that, stuff gotta get cut. Cut stuff. And that's why you get some character traits from two different characters in the book get mashed into one character in the movie or something like that. Things like that is stuff that has to happen in order to change it to a new medium. And in that case, that is something that the playwright would be doing. As a director, I would be sticking to whatever script I was handed. I would not go, this script is good. I really like this stuff, but I'm going to change it.
But you're writing and directing the script.
What I would do is I would take what I have in front of me.
Okay.
And try to remain as faithful to that as possible using the visuals and using the emotions in the ways that look right to me, but I would keep the salient points. I would keep the plot points. The beats would be the same. The ending would be the same. Everything, the essence of what the story is would be the same. But
what's weird for me is like
but like you were saying with Kubrick, he took whole sections of plot and just changed it. And that's not what I would do. I would not change plot.
There are movies that I think are different from the book, but have a quality that makes them as good as the book that I enjoyed.
I agree 100%. I would not be the one making that movie.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, and the question is, what would you do?
And that's what I'm asking, answering.
And I said faithful because I think I would probably try to stick as close to the author's vision and the salient plot points as possible. I don't think that I would want to say, well, I really feel like the ending. Yeah. Like I agree with what you're mm-hmm. both saying, but for me, that's a hard question because I have really enjoyed stage plays and movies mm-hmm. where people have said, I want this to be, you know, I want to shake that up a little bit. I want it to be different.
Yeah.
I don't want this person to die at the end. There's no
every
reason.
Time I have directed, I have stayed very true to the script. It's very rare. Like there's been times where people like, can I just say this slightly different? Cause I think my character would say it this way. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. But I'm not changing mm-hmm. plot. I'm what the script has got. That's what I'm directing. Mm-hmm.
All right. That was question number 5.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad you both really enjoyed my fast 5. I can tell. Thank you.
Man, I think just the verbiage and the language stuff. If it fit the way in my brain,
mm-hmm.
I think it would have been an easier conversation for me to
have. I think it's been interesting how you take 3 artists and have them talk about art. And they're going to have different takes on it. Who'd have thought?
I'm glad you brought that up, Salsa.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
If you would like to write a Fast 5, dear
and you
fucking
want
God,
to, dear fucking God, please. Oh my God, I'm going to strangle my co-hosts. I don't even care which one at this point. Really.
Go to aonpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast 5, and fill out the form. Yep, that's the thing you got to do. I'll give you a moment. Go ahead and do it now.
Do it now.
Pause the podcast. Go do it now.
Just do the form.
We'll wait. Just put something. All right. Does anybody have any shout outs?
I want to give a shout out to the Bryant Lake Bowl and Happy Hour Tacos.
Mm-mm-mm.
Done.
Hmm.
James?
I would like to give a shout out to modern medicine that, like, as miserable as 2.5 weeks of illness has been. It could have been a lot fucking worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It could have been a lot longer. It could have been a lot.
You could have been dead.
More miserable. It might. Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
Things kill people.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've had pneumonia before. That's dodgy. So great. Yep. Thank you. Medication. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Doctors. Agreed. Yeah.
No, mine actually very, very much mirrors James. I'm going to give a shout out to my dentist. He's fantastic. He's really good. He knows all about the sword swallowing and the glass eating, and he is a gentle touch. You know, when he sticks a needle in your gums to numb you, it you don't feel it. He's real good at what he does. He's really fucking good. And he's realistic. He doesn't judge, and he just goes, this is the situation you're in, this is what we're gonna do, and we're good. So real solid really, really solid medical professional, and I do mean nice. Professional Thanks. Does anybody have anything to plug?
Applications are still open for the Twin Cities Horror Festival. Get those applications in by the Ides of March.
The Ides of March,
which is 2 weeks away.
TCHorrorFestival.com. Mm-hmm. I'd put a link in maybe the wrong place for Salsa last time. So we'll try to make sure to get that into the show notes this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Vilification Tennis, the third Sunday of every month. This year, except for the last month. So March 16th, the day before St. Paddy's Day, but the end of the St. Paddy's Day weekend is going to be our Vilification Tennis Kisses the Blarney Stone show. And I'll be in it. I'm going to attempt Irish dance. I'm very bad at dancing. I can functionally guarantee that this will be worth watching. So go there and do.
Go there, do that.
Yeah. Vilten.net.
I'm just going to say, don't forget, coming up in just a couple weeks, the day before the Ides of March, as a matter of fact, is Pi Day. Hey, you don't have to do anything really, but have a pie. Have a slice of pie. Celebrate math. Just celebrate math. Math is cool.
I like circles.
Delicious, like pastry circles. does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye. I love you. Bye-bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you, James, for putting together that... Excuse me, I burped. Thank you for putting together that Fast Five on short notice. On behalf of myself and James Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.